everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Living Freed podcast. Today, I have my sweet friend Caitlin with me.
I know Caitlin since, gosh, I think I was 20, freshly 21.
20.
Yeah.
Because I took you out for your 21st birthday.
Which was so real of you.
That was honestly so real of me.
Yes.
And I was 26. I'm like, wait a minute, how old was I?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is kind of wild. Time has flown by.
It does that, yeah. It's wild. And we worked together at the salon, mm-hmm. and you kind of just became like an older sister mentor for a while. And we lived together.
And we drove together sometimes.
Yeah. You had a big impact.
But honestly, you're still one of the best roommates I think I've ever had.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. I was honestly so surprised that I don't think we ever got in fights, really.
No, not really.
Little tiffs.
With Cooper.
Ugh.
Cooper definitely ignited a couple tiffs.
I don't think we started on that dog.
Between Cooper and my ex, that was the only time we ever had a tiff.
Other than that, we were good. I mean, your ex, that was more so towards him, not you.
Yeah.
I was just fiercely protected.
I did one episode on boundaries, and I was like, I'll never forget, my roommate Caitlin looked at me and she was like, you really need to learn to get boundaries. And then started a whole rabbit hole. Remember that time?
I did. To be fair, fam, I'm a lot more gentle today. I was in my 20s, freshly out of a very emotionally toxic relationship. So when I noticed their relationship, I was like, it was like I was getting flashbacks.
War flashbacks.
So I was totally projecting, and I was just feeling for my girl. I was like, this is not healthy. I know this isn't healthy because I just went through. And then sometimes you just got to realize it's like, okay, people are going to learn. You can put your input in, but then you just have to like kind of sit back and let people make their own mistakes because they will do that.
No, that's...
And it's okay. It's a part of growth.
No, really.
That's how character is developed.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been telling my younger girls in Wilmington. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to let you make your mistakes. It's right now, it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
This is not life or death.
Now I will not... I try not to give my opinion unless I am asked what I think about certain things. And I'm like, all right, you want to know? You're going to get honesty.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be cute sometimes. Because your girl real.
That's what I had to learn. I was telling my roommate, she's like, you don't really give me your opinion unless I ask. I'm like, there's a reason.
There's a reason for that. Okay.
Yeah. Especially with the younger sister.
Because I may hurt your feelings in love.
Oh, I'm definitely going to hurt your feelings.
Yeah. In love.
Yeah. I can't help it. I'm really sorry.
Because I'm so protective.
Yeah. Okay. So we do this part that's called what's in and what's out. Mm. So you're going to say something that you're in to at the moment and something that you're trying to get out of or kick out of. So for me, like what's in is the holiday season. I'm very excited to just take on all of the holiday-esque, and I'm going to go get a Christmas tree this week.
Mm.
Love that. A live one because of you also.
Yes. Live Christmas trees all day. Okay, what's in for me? I really have been, I am in my 30s. It's a good time. Crazy things happen with your hormones and your body. And so I've really have been trying to tackle the area of my sleep quality. So vitamins, I literally just purchased a new mattress. It is amazing. And blackout curtains. And then what is out? But is it really out? Because it is a struggle. I am trying to cut my caffeine intake, which has been the hardest. They're like, oh, you shouldn't have caffeine for the first 2 hours of your morning. Felicia, I hear that, but that is... I can maybe do 30 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like false, honestly.
Ooh, it's a challenge.
It's become part of my morning routine, especially with the espresso maker, which is, I think, what kickstarted my caffeine addiction, which is what is also out for me. Because I wake up, I go to the gym, I come home, I start my latte, I pull out my Bible, and it's like a slow, sweet morning.
Yeah, we love a slow morning.
And then I go to work.
Yeah, and we don't have anything slow at work. We're both hairstylists, fam.
So, it's you hit the floor running when you're at the salon.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, let's get into the actual episode. I did want to put out a couple warnings about this episode. One is I'm recording on some new equipment, so I don't know how I love it. And I'm not really sure how the sound's coming across. In fact, I am sure. I wasn't really loving how the sound was coming across. Please bear with me if you decide to listen to this episode. Secondly, there is a sweet, beautiful puppy in the background that does cry occasionally, so you might hear some unusual noises coming from her.
yeah, that's it. That's all I have for that. And thirdly, I did want to put a trigger warning. We do talk about depression and suicidal thoughts and planning briefly in this episode, and that could be triggering for some. And if it is for you, I suggest skipping this episode. All right, well, let's dive in.
Okay, could you give us a brief overview of your story, like your life?
Oh man.
And how you came to know Jesus and just what that's like for you.
Oh, I don't know how brief this could be.
Okay, let's do this. How old were you when you came to know Jesus?
I was a teenager. I was 15, 16 years old. So it was my freshman year of high school, and I was really doubting God's existence. I was having a hard time. We had moved, little backstory. So I'm from Savannah, Georgia, and our family had moved to Tampa, Florida, my 7th grade year. And Florida was just rough. Okay, your girl, Savannah's got like 130,000 people. Small city, operates like a small town. Everybody knows everybody, or knows someone that you know, and very interconnected. My whole entire family was there, born and raised there. And so we moved to Tampa, and Tampa just felt like you just kind of get lost in the crowd. And I definitely, I don't know, it was just really lonely. It was hard. Anyway, so, but that had kind of stopped. She was my great grandmother, so her driving got a little rough, but she, yeah,
No more stop signs.
she ran her car into the church. Bless her. Bless
Honestly,
her.
iconic of her.
Kind of iconic of her. Yeah, the church was fine. Her car was okay. But grandma stopped driving. So
As she should.
as she should. But she did not stop going to church, but she couldn't pick us up anymore. And so I quit going to church for like 4 years, and then all throughout middle school. And I had friends from who had very many varying beliefs. And by freshman year, I was like full on doubting God's existence. I was like, God's not real. Is he real? I don't really know. And at the same time, I was very like depressed. Very, which now I can look back on this season of life and I'm like, yeah, this was a little bit spiritual warfare, I think. But I was having suicidal thoughts every day of the week and had major moments where I, you know, I was just having like these clear thoughts of like planned out like how I would execute.
And you were how old?
I was 14.
Okay, you were a baby.
Yeah, I was a baby. I was 14, 15 years old. So my freshman year, we moved to a different part of Tampa. Tampa's a huge city. And I ended up going to a different high school. So the friends I did work so hard to make, we were now like separated. And so I really was alone a second go
Oh,
round.
that's so hard.
And it was that combined with there's some deep like family wounds and family trauma with our family. And I had seen things go down with my older sister and my mom and just emotions that I felt very responsible for the emotions in my family. So I just felt like I was in between this rock and a hard place where I had to choose between my mom and dad because I hated Florida, but I loved my mom. I didn't necessarily want to leave my mom. But I knew if I stayed in Florida, things were gonna It wasn't going to be pretty. And I just felt like I had to, I don't know, it just felt like this huge weight, as things do when you're that age, felt like this huge weight and responsibility on my shoulders, that I couldn't escape and I couldn't get out of. And I think this plaguing thought just kept entering my head, like, well, what if I just wasn't here? What if I wasn't a part of the equation anymore? Which is so dark, you know? So I remember me and a friend made plans one day, and I was going to spend the night with her. And so this is one of the friends I had made, and I had moved to North Tampa. And so we were like 35 minutes apart, and we had made plans that I was going to spend the night, and we were going to go see movies the next day on Sunday. And she goes, well, here's the thing. My mom's been going to this church. We should go. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. I haven't been to church in like 4 or 5 years. I was like, let's rock and roll. I was like, cool. And so at this time, I was like doubting with depression, doubting with suicidal thoughts, and like seriously doubting God's existence. I was like, is he even there? Is he real? And so I feel like my little soul was like in like agony.
I just must say, you have always been such a deep thinker. Like, even at 14, I don't know if at 14 I was sitting here like trying to figure out if God was real or not. I kind of was like, no, he's real. But you're over here like feeling it in your soul, the
No, I
question.
was so wrestling with God's existence. I was
Yeah.
like, I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I've always been. I was always a little deep reader, though, too. Like, even when I was a little girl, I was, like, reading books, like, two sizes too big for me.
Did you, sorry to, like, off topic just a little bit, did you ever feel guilty for doubt, questioning his existence when you were that age?
No.
No. Okay.
No. I knew of Jesus, obviously, because of my great-grandmother's influence. But I didn't, like, he wasn't Lord over my life. Yeah. I wouldn't have called myself a Christian.
Yeah.
At this time.
Okay.
So no, so that guilt and shame didn't really, hit. So, yeah, so we go to church, and the whole sermon that morning was about doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And doubt in God. And I can't tell you everything. I don't remember everything. But it was like the moment in my life. I actually have a tattoo on my inner arm, kind of reflecting back to this moment. But I call it my Moses moment, like the burning bush moment with the Lord. And I always tell people, I'm like, it was the fear of the Lord that drew me in.
Mm.
Because I felt alone, stripped, naked, like bare, like my soul made bare before the Lord in that church that day. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, I am.
Wow.
Like a very present, like, I am.
Again, like such a deep feeling and thought for a 14-year-old.
No, yeah. Well, and that was like, you know, that was real. That was the Holy Spirit. I mean, yeah. I felt fear. Like, I felt a reverent, just kind of like holy fear. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then my mind is like racing the rest of the day. I don't even remember what movie we saw. Couldn't even tell you. And because it's all I could think about. It was all I could think about even throughout the movie. And I was like, I think I just had an encounter with God.
Wow.
And I remember getting in the car and I like was spouting it off to my mom. And I was like, Mom, this whole crazy thing just happened. Let me tell you all about it. So now this wasn't like an overnight thing. Like I definitely was still wrestling. But it was just like God was very much like making his presence known to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, you're here, but let me set this aside. In my mind, because I didn't know how to grapple with that.
That's so fair, though.
Yeah, I was like, I still have decisions to make. I don't know how to grapple with this over here, okay? This is like a, I don't know. So I definitely, like, I attempted to, like, set it on the shelf and be like, okay, we're gonna visit this later.
What's that email thing where people are like, we're gonna, loop back to that?
Yeah, I was like,
We'll wrap around.
We'll come back to that. So weeks go by. Obviously, I'm still wrestling a lot. And then there was one night in particular, my thoughts just got so bad. And I was sitting on my dresser. The vivid's still so vivid in my mind. And I was sitting on my dresser in my room. Y'all, I didn't know Christian radio was a thing. Didn't know that even existed, okay? I knew, like my great-grandmother used to put on, like, old hymns in her car, but I honestly thought it was, like, a tape or something like that. I didn't actually know it was radio. So, this is the same time when Mercy Me's,
oh, yes. I can
only imagine.
That was such a good one.
Was playing, but it played on all radio platforms. And I had my radio on, and I was sitting on my dresser, and I just was, like, crying. And I had this clear vision enter my mind of, like, okay. Like, it was almost like me going in the road and, like, getting ran over by a car mm-hmm. situation. Like, just all these scenarios. Like, how would I kill myself? How would I do it? I think it was just a really bad week. Really rough week. And the song by Mercy Me came on, I can only imagine, in the middle of my thoughts. And I just lost it.
Mm-hmm.
I started weeping like a baby. And this is, I would say some people have their moments at the altar with the Lord in church. This was my moment with the Lord in my bedroom. And I feel like the Lord just, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, he just met me in my bedroom and I just felt held by him. And I just started talking to God.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I know you're there. I had this, like, crack in me that just happened that I was like, are you? Like, you're not this girl. Like, you don't want to take your life. And I just remember, like, I'm gonna cry talking about this. Like, I just remember, like, you know, having this visceral, like, man, how far have I come?
Yeah.
You know? And I remember just, like,
talking with God. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I know you're there. I know you're real. And I was like, I need you. Like, I just think it was a moment where my soul was just like crying out to the Lord. I couldn't tell you. I stayed up until like 2 a.m. that night talking with God and rest and just like pouring out my heart to him. And I had to be up for school at like 6:30 the next day. So gosh. I think I got like 4 hours of sleep. But I had so much peace when I went to bed that night. And I knew two things. I knew A, that I was for sure moving. Mm-hmm. And then I had to break the news to my mom. And B, I had told the Lord that night, I was like, I'm going to get involved in a church.
Yeah.
Like those two decisions were very clearly made for me in that moment with the Lord that night.
That's so good though.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like it was very much a thing. So then, you know, going through the weeks of, you know, all the follow up with that, I like wrote my mom this long letter because listen, if my emotions are involved, I can't really, your girl cries. Okay.
It's true. Actually, I was telling my other roommate, I was like, I used to never cry. And then I went to therapy and I became a water work. And then I moved in with you. And I was telling you, I was like, I would live with Caitlin. Caitlin was crying all the time. And and it made it so normal for me where now I cry. Like my roommate, yeah. She's like, you just cry a lot. Like we're watching a movie, but I'm crying. Like I'm talking about God and I start to cry. Like,
yeah, it's just random. I can't talk about Jesus and not weep.
Yeah.
Because the Lord has been so good to me. Like I know what darkness is like. So I just envision like where my life would be today without him. And I get emotional. Like yeah. You can ask Hannah, I literally have tears welling up yeah. my eyes right now. I'm just grateful. And I would just say throughout the following year, like my sophomore year, I wrote a letter to my mom, tell my dad. I end up moving over that summer. Mm-hmm. And I just kept talking to God. Like, you know, some people really say they kind of struggle in prayer or all of these things. I'm really grateful because that's not my story. I would say prayer was such a strong foundation, but really it wasn't even like prayer. I think people get in their heads about prayer.
They do.
You know, in general, when it's like, I literally talk to God like I was, like I'd be talking yeah. to you.
Right? No, I talk to him all day long.
Yeah. I would get in bed at night and I would just unload the day.
Yeah. And I do
just
that now.
Unload the day to the Lord and be like, and I would just, I was curious. Like I would just take my questions to him. And I swear y'all, like throughout the entire year, like I would pray something. I'd be like, Lord, this is so like different for me. Like, you know, what do you mean by this or something? And then someone the next day would like, we'd get on a conversation that was talking about that. And like something would be confirmed for me. Or I remember my high school cheer coach like walked us through this devotion and it brought up the concept of praying for your future husband. And I was like, people do that? That's a thing?
Yeah.
So, I was like, what is that? And so I was like, and I was dating this football player at our high school. And I was like, well, God, I was like, is this homie my husband? And 2 days later, we broke up. And I said, that's not.
What is that? It's like, no one ever passed the test if they're not for me. Like, take them out of my life.
So true.
With boyfriends so and true. Friends. Like, you pray that and God's like, oh, you want them out? Like, yeah. The door's closed, babe.
Oh, you want to know? It's like, oh, God, if this isn't of you, please just make that clear. Listen, fam, he will.
He will. He will. He so will.
Be mindful what you ask, okay? Because God be answering.
Now, was this in Savannah?
This was in Savannah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm now officially moved back to Savannah. Yeah, and I just kept asking questions. I ended up going to a private school. Savannah, Chatham County Public Schools are not necessarily the greatest. So I ended up going to a private Bible school, and that's where I actually got involved in a youth as well. And I just asked a lot of questions, and I cried a lot. I remember one of my mentors in the youth was like, you cry every week. And I was like, yeah, dog, because this is real. This is real. I know some of these kids have grown up in this their whole life. That's great. Your girl has not. Okay. This is real. I was like super sensitive to the gospel and to the spirit. Now, mind you, well, we don't really need to get into all that. I was still a feisty little thing. Okay. Yeah. Sanctification was still very much happening.
You still are who you are.
Still very much am who I am.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Word.
So I'm like the perfect stay at home
no.
wife.
as soon as you come to know Jesus. It's like, no, your personality is still your personality.
Oh, yeah.
If you're fiery, you're still fiery. If you're still, like, if you're quiet, you're probably still going to be a pretty quiet person.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I think who you are as a child, this is something I feel like I've just really been reflecting on in my 30s. Like, I feel like when the Lord is bringing us to freedom, it's almost like this revisitation back to childhood and who God has formed you to be before the world has gotten its claws in you,
mm-hmm.
and has been like, no, this is what you should do, or this is who you should be. And even when I was a little girl, I like wanted to be this like warrior princess.
Yeah.
Like,
I see that.
I wanted the frilly frou-frou dress and the twirly dress, but I wanted a sword as well.
Yeah.
In my hand. And so I feel like that fits.
I just got chills because I have the vision of like, that's kind of who God calls us to be.
Word. Okay, let's talk about it.
Like, no, really though, that's,
yeah,
you just gave me like, you said it and that was the vision of like, no, that's who he calls us to be.
Yeah, for sure. Women in the Lord, like, we are not called, you're not called to be doormats, ladies. I'm just gonna say that.
No, yeah.
Yeah, there is, we are co-heirs.
Yeah,
we are like, co-heirs.
You hold the sword.
We should hold the sword.
Yeah.
And I would argue that women actually have more proclivity, you know, even in the differences between men and women, women have conversations.
Yeah.
We can talk all day. We want to hang out. We go to a coffee shop and we'll, you know,
yeah,
or brunch or whatever. And we'll talk to each other for 4 hours straight. Men need something to do. They're more like, yeah, shoulder to shoulder. Yes. And they're like, hey, let's go play basketball. Hey, let's go do this, you know, mm-hmm. sport. Hey, let's go watch sports. Like, they're always more shoulder to shoulder. The only time men get, put a fire in front of them.
Yeah.
Put a fire in front of them and then men will slow down.
Fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe a cigar.
Right.
And then they're ready to talk.
And then they're ready to talk. But other than that, it's like a concoction. Whereas women, like, we will, come on, let's deep dive.
I don't know about you, because I, too, being a girl, like, I'm the person my guy friends call to just chat with. And I'm, yeah, like, do you not, I don't enjoy it. So I'm like, do you not have another boy to call? Because,
yeah,
I don't want to be having this conversation. I'd rather be talking to somebody else, honestly, right now.
Yeah. It's like this mindfulness, too, of like.
And you're like, no, I can only talk to a girl about this. I'm like, no, you should go ask a brother in Christ about this.
Or maybe even an older man.
Yeah.
You know, that would be an encouragement I think I would give, is be like, maybe you should find an older man who can pour some wisdom into you.
Yeah.
I think that's hugely important for women as well.
Yes.
That, not, 100%. Not just men, but men and women. I think it is wisdom. If wisdom is what you seek, then you must find someone who has wisdom to give.
Yeah.
And obviously someone that you trust or admire, or, you know, admire their character or their growth or their development. Because that is the only way that I think, really, you have to be willing to learn. And you have to be willing to be corrected. And you have to be willing to ask.
Yeah.
To ask for it.
So you become a Christian.
Yep.
You move to Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're living in Raleigh, North Kakalaki.
The Raleigh, North Kakalaki.
Which... I never thought you were going to live here this long.
Very unplanned. I know, I'm still here.
So what does your walk with Jesus look like now? And what are you learning?
Yeah, now it's, so it's been, I'll be 34 in February. So it's been almost 20 years.
Cheers to that.
With the Lord.
Which is wild to think about.
It's so cool though. Yeah, it is. It's really cool. Right now, currently, I feel like, you know, I definitely went through my deep dives with the Lord, like, you know, prayer to prayer, talking all the time. And then in my 20s, for sure, I like really deep. I've never been one to like sit down and just accept things. There, I have been involved in some churches where like things happened with leadership. And so trust is not easily given for me.
Yeah.
And
I don't think it should be.
No.
Especially with
honestly,
leadership.
No way. I think it's important to weigh the character.
100%.
Of who you may be, whose headship are you submitting yourself to, you know, in the body and in the church. And that's not to say you're expecting perfection out of someone, but it's like, does this man, does your headship, does the leadership within your church have, is there character, is there integrity, is there accountability?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the brothers that are surrounding, like, who are the elders, who are the, you know, deacons and deaconesses, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, do I trust these people? You know, could I sit down and actually have a conversation with each and every one of these individuals and trust them?
Yeah.
And trust what they would have to say. And I think that's important. I think a lot of believers need to weigh in on that a little bit more. But I would say
Wait.
We did get a little sidetracked.
Sidetracked.
So what are you learning now in your faith?
So what I'm learning now, I feel like, you know, right. So in my 20s, definitely went very heady, very like theologically heavy, all that stuff, which is also important. Bible study is actually important, like the historical context, what's going on in the background.
I'm teaching that to my girls in our Wednesday night right now.
Who's reading, you know, who's writing the letter? Where are they at? What's happening? Yeah. What's going on with that church at the time? You know, all of these things are so important. But I feel like too, the older I'm getting, I mean, really just taking things back to the simple gospel. Because now I would say my relationship with the Lord is almost like calming down in a way where I'm not really coming to him to ask for a lot. It's a lot of thankfulness. There are some tears. But there are times where it's like I'm just crying and I'm like, Jesus, you know my heart. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's just like this like resurrendering. I would say the words have gotten less actually.
Yeah.
Like it's just like this moment of connection with the Lord where I'm like, okay, I'm here.
I feel that.
And I need you to be here.
I've gotten more silent.
Yes.
And not
so this
not
that I'm giving
him the silent treatment at all. It's like no, it's I'm like silent this expectation. In his presence. Yes.
It's just expectations. Like we do talk so much and it's like this expectation, like, okay, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to know your heart. And I think for me, the biggest challenge this year has been learning to be loved by God and just freely loved by God, you know, without this like rushing around like a chicken with my head cut off, like doing, which I feel like women can kind of fall into that
for sure
category a lot.
All of us.
We can be little busy bees. So I've been practicing silence and stillness, and that has been, I have ADHD. I used to have background music on all the time. Like sitting in silence was very difficult for me, but the past like 2 years, I think I really have been, and maybe it was like with our job too and coming out of things. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Lord's really been healing me in a lot of different areas as far as I have realized the past couple of years how much I was operating in survival mode all across the board, not just spiritually, but like physically, emotionally, like just operating in survival mode. And he's been breaking that down. And that's been very painful.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's like easy.
Well, because you've trained your brain to process and be in a certain state of mind. Like that neural pathway is so strong. Yeah. When you're rewriting that, It is painful.
It's painful.
Yeah.
And all of that to say, too, I want to say, like, this is not, you know, some of these people get on here and be like, sit on this padded pillow and meditate.
Not us.
And quiet your mind. Yeah, that doesn't work for me, homie. like, I'm still very much ADHD. And I'm like, okay, me practicing silence is like, okay, I'm going to go walk the dog around this lake and not bring any music with me, not bring my phone with me. You know, or maybe if I am bringing my phone with me, I've also been like listening to the word of God.
Yeah.
Like with audio, little plug here for the ESV Bible app. It's like $4 a month and you can like listen to like 15 different people do the audio Bible. I would 10 out of 10 recommend that. But so sometimes I've been doing that or just like walking in silence.
Yeah.
With the Lord. Sometimes that may lead to us like sitting on a bench.
Yeah.
And I feel like just like inviting him in to those moments of just silence with the Lord. And whatever comes up from that is sometimes really beautiful and good. And then sometimes it's like a song, like I'll just start humming, you know, or I think it's, you know, when you're an early believer, things can kind of be about this performance of, and you may not even realize you're doing it, but you're like, all right, cast off the old, put on the new, you know? And then depending on where you find yourself, who you find yourself surrounded by, you know, as a new believer, things can become performance-based, you know, even if you're not meaning them to. And I feel like the Lord is just walking his children deeper and deeper into freedom. There is such a freedom that comes with the Lord over time, as in any other relationship, you know, as we are loved.
Yeah.
You know, and as I am loved, and I'm like, oh, I don't have to perform or say things a certain right way for you to love me. You just love me.
I was having dinner with this girl, Haley, who's 20, and she is struggling with singleness. And she was like, you're single and 28. And she's like, I feel bad for you. And I was like, well, don't. But thanks for the pity. I don't really know. But she's like, do you ever get angry with God? And I was like, not directly at him. Do I get upset about the situation? And she's like, well, how do you handle that? I was like, oh, I tell him. Like, yeah. I have no shame in telling God. Yeah. Like, even in bed the other night, I was like, actually, God, I am mad. Like, I am mad.
Yeah.
About a number of things, and I'm gonna list them out for you because at this point I have no reason not to. Like, yeah. You already know. He already knows, so why am I gonna hide it?
Full sin, fam.
And I'm not embarrassed.
This is so therapeutic. I used to go on drives and, I mean, cry angry fat tears and beat my steering wheel and talk to God all at the same time. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, listen, God is a big God.
Yeah.
Made emotions. He knows you.
Yes.
He knows you, okay? Don't hide from that. Don't hide from your emotions. Just take them to him. That is actually the beauty of Job. You know, people,
I think about this a lot with Job. Like, it wasn't that Job.
Job did complain about what he was going through.
Yeah.
But he never complained to his friends.
No.
He brought all of his complaints, all of his wonderings, all of his curiosities to the Lord.
Directly
to the Lord. And God blessed him in that, you know? And Job never got an answer why.
No, he never did.
But there was this beauty in the sense that Job never shamed God in front of his friends or his wife. Like, he never left him. But he did wrestle.
Yes.
There's beauty in the way that Job wrestled mm-hmm. with his emotions and through his emotions.
Yeah.
Which God very humbly
humbles him. Yeah.
Once again.
As if the man couldn't have been humbled enough in that situation.
Yeah, for sure. God's like, where were you when I created the earth?
Yeah.
Joe's like, oh my bad.
We've been going through Job on Sunday nights, and every time we read it, Caitlin's like, it's just getting worse. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, and his friends are getting meaner. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, and now he's saying this to God? I'm like, he had the balls to say it to God. Yeah. Yeah, he did. But I respect that. But did you see how God responded? Tell her not to read
Revelation.
Oh, I told her. I said the first, like, two hardest books, in my opinion, is Job and Revelation. And you chose Job. Like, just know we're not entering. And she's never read the Bible, like, by herself before. I was like, so don't ever ask me to read Revelation with you. I'm not.
She does need to read it, though. Everyone needs to read Revelation.
You should read the whole book by at some point. It is
terrifying, but you should.
Right now, as the second book she'd complete, no thank you.
No. Maybe start with the Gospels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Job.
So it's like there's this beauty there. Like, the Lord, that's what the Lord's after, you know? He's not after. It was never about Job's doing.
No.
Job was righteous before the Lord. It was never about, like, what he could do, or, you know, what he did. Could this have been wrong? No. He loved the Lord, you know, and that shows up, but it shows up too in his crying out to the Lord. We see this again with David too, where it's mm-hmm. like David always returned to the Lord.
Yeah.
David went off some very varying paths. David was messy, okay?
Yeah.
A real human man, okay? Real human man. Got a little too prideful and definitely took a little tumble down a cliff, okay? He was brought to accountability, and mm-hmm. David cried out to God. He's like, against you and you alone have I sinned.
Yeah.
Not these other people. Not, just murdered this man. Like,
sexually assaulted this woman.
Right. You and you alone have I sinned, Lord. Yeah. And, you know, he always returned back to God. He always worshipped back to God. So I just feel like there's this, you can grieve, and you can be angry, and you can bear down on your steering wheel. Maybe go to a break room, you know?
Yeah.
Throw on some worship music and go to a break room. That might be better than therapy. That might be better than therapy, fam. Yeah. Anger is okay. He's like, be angry, but do not sin.
Yeah.
And I think this is part of it. It's like, okay, if you know you're angry about something, like, take it to the Lord. And I think all of our Christian walk is really just like this re-surrendering and entrusting ourselves to the Lord. Like, it's, am I taking everything to him? Am I entrusting myself to him? You know, now I feel like my prayers, even they're so simple. It's like these mantra prayers. Like a situation will pop up and I'm like, all right, Lord, I entrust myself to you. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the prayer.
That's really been my prayer.
That one sentence. I'm like, all right, God, I know you see me.
My prayer's been, I know you got it and I don't. And so whatever it is, please keep getting it. Like, honestly, those are the last couple of times I've been talking to him. I'm like,
this is such a millennial.
Yeah.
Gen Z.
I'm like, you got
please
this.
Please keep getting it.
Yeah, because I don't.
Because I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. The real.
Like, I'm like, you, instead of something in the car, I'm like, you just keep doing you.
Like, yeah. Keep doing you.
Yeah, yeah, that's all I got. Sometimes yeah. I'm like, you're great. You just keep doing you, and that's all I have. Yeah.
But you're like, yeah, I cry a lot. And I'm over here, and I'm like, that's so, we've been talking about that in some of my friend group, because at my church, my whole church, people cry, like, the whole time. Like, I don't go to Wednesday night, and people aren't sobbing. Like, someone's always sobbing. And that's like, yeah.
Honestly, praise God.
Wow. And yes, like, one girl's Mormon, and she, like, came to know Christ in her early 20s, and it's a whole thing, and it's beautiful. But one of my friends looked at me, and she's like, is it weird that I don't cry?
No.
And I was like, no. And she's like, okay, because, like, you don't really cry. And I was like, no. But I was like, but also, my way of taking part of the Spirit is, like, through my joy. Mm-hmm. Like, I thrive in finding, like, mm-hmm. laughing with him and smiling. And, like, when you get excited to talk about Jesus, like, you cry about his love. Mm-hmm. When I get excited to talk about Jesus, like, I, like, giggle. I'm, like, so full. Like, it's just,
I also think both. It's the different avenues of freedom, too. So, a lot of people don't know this, but before Jesus, I did not have freedom to cry in front of people. That was kind of,
yeah,
taken out of me and strongly discouraged, you know. I'd be, like, set aside on the steps and just was allowed to throw a tantrum, you know, by myself. And I think I learned from a very young age, to take my emotions internally and to not express my emotions out loud. So for me, crying with Jesus in front of people,
that's like the sweetest thing.
That's freedom.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and it only happens when I'm talking about God or when I'm talking, because I still, even when I still go through hard things, it's very hard for me to actually talk about my emotions.
Yeah.
I
don't think there has been a time we have talked about Jesus and you didn't cry.
Yeah, facts.
Like, and you have all those papers that you've written on, and it's always like, there's some tear stains on those papers. No, yeah. Like,
that's so real.
Yeah, it really is. It's every time you talk about Jesus. Like, we've talked about other things. We've known each other for 8 years now, and there's been plenty of hard stuff that's come up that you haven't cried about. Yeah. But it's every single time. It's, it has anything about, to do with the Lord.
Yeah, it's always you're about
like,
Jesus.
And then the tears start to well up. I'm like, there goes Caitlin's eyes. Yep. I don't think she can.
But
see
anything that deals with like my emotions, I actually kind of.
Oh, you lock down a little bit.
Yeah, I lock down. You.
Yeah,
I lock them down.
Yeah,
you know. But it's only when I'm like talking about Jesus where there's like sweet freedom in that, and I think the Lord is still freeing me in that, and that's very difficult.
Yeah.
It's not always fun. So yeah, I mean, but journaling has been, I feel like journaling, that's where I can like write things down and I'm like, oh, that's how I'm feeling.
Oh,
that's how I can that's what I'm trying to articulate. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to express it, you know? So I think it's just important to find your avenue. Like, some of you may need to journal. Buy a journal. Pray to the Lord and the big man. Some people are like, I get so distracted in prayer. Okay, buy a pen and paper.
Yeah.
You know, and just write. Because then it kind of keeps you on track, you know.
I think just finding whatever avenue that you need is okay. And you know, it's okay that your times look different in different seasons with the Lord.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, 100%.
So, yeah.
What season would you say you're in right now with him?
I think just like, honestly, trying to practice contentment, I would say.
Okay.
Trying to practice contentment, trying to practice gratitude. I definitely have been numbing a little bit. I can tell, like, there's a part of me that's wanting to go back to these old survival modes. And I think God's like, no, let's go deeper.
Mm.
And I just think deeper healing is happening because I've slowed down.
Yeah, you have.
I'm in a season where I have definitely slowed down a lot. And her roommate, so funny, because she was like, I still feel like you work a lot, or I still feel like you do this, and I'm like, girl, this is nothing compared to what your girl was doing. So but in the slowdown, I feel like my system, things are popping up and God's like, let's wrestle through these things, and I'm like, no, not today, you know. And then I'm trying to make myself busy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you find a, all of a sudden you find a million
all of a sudden I'm going to the gym. I'm like, all right, cool.
But you called me out on that. Do you remember that?
Yes, I know.
Okay. Like,
yeah.
You were like, I feel like you're running, and I was like, from what? And you're like, you're just always busy. And I was like, no, I'm not. And you're like, you're not home. Like, you're running away from the Lord. You need to slow down. And I was like, oh,
But now I'm so slow. Now you can't get me to go do anything. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to stay home and read my Bible and talk to Jesus instead of doing anything else right now. Because I don't want to go socialize. Yeah, I don't need to be busy.
Definitely seasons. I'm
you definitely called me out. And now it's Uno reverse.
Yeah, now it's Uno reverse. You're calling me out. Good. But I recognize it too. I'm like, all right, Lord, I know you're totally running. And then there are sweet moments with the Lord where, you know, things are coming up and I'm like, okay, like I think one of these being to
the avenue of waiting for a husband.
Mm-hmm.
More than that though, I think in parenting, you know, as I navigate relationship with my parents, I've had to establish boundaries early on, and just recently I feel like I'm getting triggered again, you know, in conversations with like my dad. He can just be a little spicy. Yes. Sometimes, you know, and your girl, I have learned over time with the Lord, thankfully. I have known, you know, in conversations with my dad, you know, I've gotten triggered recently. And there was one time my dad was just in a bad mood and he was kind of yelling at me. And I was like, oh, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to talk that way. I will call you back whenever you're ready.
Oh.
And but it really hit me hard that day. And I went on a walk around the lake, again in silence, and I just started crying. And I was like, oh, this really affected me today.
Yeah.
You know? And it's interesting because this isn't new.
No.
This has happened multiple times. Like, I have a pretty established system, you know? I recognize with my dad, it's just, he can't, my dad doesn't know how to express his emotions. When a man doesn't know how to express his emotions.
Yes.
Or there may be depression involved. I feel like anger is a secondary emotion.
Yeah.
Firstly. So it's like anger is what comes out. And he knows I love him. So it's like, yeah, it does come out on me. Now, that's not to say, I mean, I do establish pretty good boundaries with my dad. But all that to say, I love him and I know he loves me. It's just, this is how it is. And so, but I really was hit hard that day. And I just found myself, which oddly enough, I was praying. I just started praying for my husband. And I was like, God, I said, I don't want to be with a man who's going to evoke anger in me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'm tired. I'm so tired. And I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want to have to raise my voice. I don't want to have to. It's hard when your parents don't know Jesus.
Yes.
And it's hard when you have to handle them with grace and wisdom and mercy and be Jesus to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I literally just found myself praying over my husband and, like, just thinking about, like, my future children. And I was like, I don't want them to have this type of relationship with their dad.
Yeah.
You know? And Hannah's 28. I'm 33 and not married. So it's like, I think the waiting has been, it's interesting because I haven't prayed for my husband in a long time. It's been a minute, but I feel like the Lord is bringing up things where it's like, no, you need to press in and you need to ask me.
Yeah.
And it's almost like bringing in certain scenarios that are making me pray. Like, I'm like, okay, Lord, like, I'm like, if he has anger,
yeah,
I pray that he's a man who surrenders it to you.
Oh.
And has good, healthy outlets.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, man, I think it's okay to be angry, but I think it's so important to have, to gain self-control over that.
Yeah.
And that is a gift of the Spirit, you know? And if you don't have self-control over that, I would argue you're probably not ready to be married.
I would agree with that. So I have a question. Let's stop this here and then let's pick up. And can we talk about your singleness and, like, what that's looking like and what, and continue this conversation?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to cut that short, but if you're loving Caitlin's episode, in a few weeks, we will be talking about what it's like to be single, 30, and flirty. You can tune in just a few weeks to hear the rest of her story and what life looks like as a single 30-year-old. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks so much for listening to the Living Freed podcast.
I hope that you enjoyed it. Let's stay connected. You can message me or follow me on Instagram at HannahLizD, or you can email me at livingfreepod@gmail.com. If you're loving the podcast, I'd be so honored if you'd go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. And if you have any feedback or a subject you'd like me to cover, please go ahead and email me or DM me on Instagram. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope you feel encouraged and lighter today. Bye, y'all.